Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillick. And some new developments now in President Donald Trump's decision to end the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, known as DACA. A number of conservative state attorneys general may have helped force the president's hand in ending DACA when they threatened to sue the administration if it kept the program. But now a different group of 16 other attorneys general are also going to court to stop the president from ending DACA. Washington State Attorney General Bob Ferguson is a Democrat, and he's one of those leading the lawsuit against the administration. And he says the claim stands on multiple grounds.
We have constitutional claims, due process and equal protection, constitutional provisions. We also are asserting statutory claims. In other words, we're saying the president has violated federal statutes. So we have multiple claims, and we feel we have good legal arguments to stop this action by the president.
Now, there were lots of arguments on the other side of this, as you know, that the original DACA program itself from President Obama was an unconstitutional reach by the president. But you're arguing quite the opposite, that undoing the program is unconstitutional. Why?
You raise an important point. A lot of people say, including Attorney General Sessions, that the original DACA program by the president was unlawful. In fact, that's what they rely on, Attorney General Sessions and the president, to roll it back. There's just one problem with that, Todd. No court has ever actually ruled that DACA is unconstitutional. And moreover, the Department of Justice itself, the federal government, has for years defended it. So part of our argument is, given that the decision by the president is what we call, as lawyers call, arbitrary and capricious. There is no real reason behind it. And that's one of our arguments behind our complaint that we filed.
But if President Obama's claim was that the president has primary discretion over immigration policy like this, therefore he had the right to do DACA, doesn't it follow that the next president, President Trump, has the right to undo it?
No, in a couple different ways. And I'll try and keep this high level because, you know, on these legal complaints, it does get fairly technical fairly quickly. But one argument that we have is that, and this is similar to the travel ban litigation, when I filed a lawsuit to stop the first travel ban, and we won on stopping that first travel ban. One of our arguments there, for example, is that one can have an agency action or an action by a president, for example, that is seemingly lawful but is made unlawful if it is motivated in part, Todd, by a racial animus, for example, or an improper motive. Doesn't have to be the motivating factor. The courts require a motivating factor, and we argue that with the travel ban, that his animus towards Muslim Americans. We have a similar argument here. In other words, the president has been very clear what his views are of Mexicans. He kicked off his campaign with essentially a rant against Mexicans, murderers, rapists, that type of thing. So it's our view that that, even if it's otherwise legal what he's doing, it has an improper purpose. And the question I pose to your listeners is, you know, the overwhelming majority of Dreamers are from Mexico, about 80%. Does anyone really think that if most of the Dreamers were white, that Donald Trump would have taken the action he took the other day? I don't think so.
Some legal experts who've looked at your case say you've got kind of a difficult argument here, primarily because the president hasn't technically taken anything away. They've simply said this is going to expire, and if you don't renew after 6 months, we won't be taking any new applications.
Yeah, so I guess a couple of responses that, number one, I've now filed 15 lawsuits against this administration. Each one presents, and each lawsuit in general presents its own unique challenges. But in the 15 we filed, so far we won 4 and lost none. We're 4-0. So number one, on each of those, most people have said, oh, it'll never work, including the travel ban, and yet we've been successful. So I appreciate folks' feedback, but we feel we have good legal arguments here. Moreover, it's the view of our legal team that, that yes, this is ripe. In other words, a court can act now because privacy information of Dreamers is in jeopardy as well. As one of our arguments as well, which is very important, is that the federal government, in setting up this program, invited Dreamers to provide very personal information about where they live and where they work and where they go to school. And the president has made no assurance that that information won't be used against them as they try to wind this program down. That is a true betrayal of those individuals to invite them to join a program, ask their information, have it supplied to the federal government, and then turn around and use it against those Dreamers.
All right. Well, Bob Ferguson, let's step outside your brief just for a second. Right after this decision was rendered, the Attorney General Jeff Sessions told the press about getting rid of DACA. And then a series of tweets from President Trump saying, look, DACA recipients, nothing will happen to you over the next 6 months. Don't worry. I'm going to work with Nancy Pelosi. If Congress doesn't fix this, I will. He seemed to backtrack. He says he's not backtracking. But I wonder if you haven't gotten sort of into his brain a little bit.
Well, I won't take any credit for that, but I think who I hope is getting into his brain a little bit is just the outpouring of opposition to his decision from individuals and communities and organizations and businesses all around this country. That, I think, hopefully has gone into his head. And I think there's a good chance that is what caused him to do that follow-up tweet, as you said, that he'll revisit this issue in 6 months if Congress doesn't act. And to that point, in our complaint, we have businesses in my home state, like Starbucks and Amazon, who have filed complaints, to support our complaint. We have organizations like our universities and our colleges. They're all talking about the adverse impact to those colleges, to those universities, or to those businesses if this is allowed to go forward. So there is strong opposition to what the president has done, and I hope that has what has gone into his head.
Well, maybe the most effective thing you could do as an attorney general, I mean, you have a direct line to your senators and your congressional delegation. Most of them probably agree with you on this, but it seems like Congress could undo this debate right away, and that maybe a bona fide negotiation over extending DACA might be taking place in the House and Senate. And if that happens, you don't need a lawsuit.
Oh, hey, from my standpoint, if Congress does its job, right, and provides the protections that these dreamers deserve, I am 110% behind that, and I hope they do it. That said, I just don't have a lot of confidence in this particular Congress to tackle a big challenge facing our country. I don't mean any disrespect by that. I just look back at past actions and just don't see that happening. I hope it does. I'll do whatever I can to support that. But in the meantime, I, as Attorney General, representing those 17,000 dreamers in my own state, cannot wait around for a dysfunctional Congress to address this. If we feel we have good legal arguments and Washingtonians are being harmed, then I feel I have an obligation, really a duty, to stand up and do something about it.
Bob Ferguson, the Attorney General of Washington State, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much, Todd. Really appreciate it.